stand in honor of God's Word today, 1 Corinthians 16. We're trying to finish up 1 Corinthians, and then we can't do it, but I'm going to try. Lord willing, today to be our last message. We remember we had 9 points, and we got through about 3 or 4 of them last Sunday. And so then, since that happens, you got to go back and re-preach some of that to make sure you know where you're at. But I want you to notice, I mentioned this last week, verse 14, the Bible tells the church at Corinth that everything needs to be done in love or charity. And then in verse number 24, Paul is wrapping up by telling them that his love is with them in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'm taking this last messages and paraphrasing the love of the brethren and looking at these two bookmarks, love in 14 and love in 24, and then you can see what love does. So let's read this again, and then we'll try to get to that fourth or fifth point as soon as we can. And Lord willing, we will finish this book up. What a book, what a journey that it has been. And then, Lord willing, we're going to start the book of Romans in the first of the year. That's going to be our book that we're going to start. Our theme for the next new year is this. I just felt compelled. Is continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast been taught. And so we'll deal with that too. Maybe. But verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We looked at 3 things of addiction last week in the negative connotation, but can be used in the positive. And I'll tell you, if you get a bunch of people that are addicted to the ministry, you'll be headed in the right direction. And then he says this, that you submit yourselves unto such. Submit yourselves unto such what? You need to submit yourselves unto such that addict themselves to the ministry of the saints. And to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas, Fortunus, and Achaeus. For that which was lacking on your part, church, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be. Anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, help us as we continue and finish up the book of 1 Corinthians. And Lord, we're reminded of many things that we have learned doctrinally speaking, but Lord, also the practical aspect of ministry. And as Paul closes out, he finishes this letter by mentioning these people that he loves, those that have been involved in the work of the ministry, those that have played a part of a church life in Paul's life. And Lord, I think that we, Lord, should certainly, as I mentioned last week, it would be safe to say that these last closing verses reflect what Paul said in the verse where he said, let all your things be done with charity. God, help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love how Paul begins to have these bookends of the word love, and he'd spend a whole chapter of chapter 13 that we looked at on love. And the reason that Paul wanted to talk about the love of the brethren, as this church had a little bit of lacking when it came to the love of the brethren. How do we know that? Well, they were suing one another. They were doing things in the church body that they should not have been doing. And Paul said, listen, I love you, but you need to love each other. And he says, in fact, love causes him to write this letter. I believe that. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, it will be known that actually some of the harsh things that Paul has preached to them and written to them and tried to get them to understand that they were out of bounds, Timothy is actually going to report to them that they actually listened to the Word of God. They listened to what Paul had to say. So the reason that Paul wrote this book was out of love. A preacher who preaches to his people, it should be because he loves them. The reason that he should preach the Bible, the whole counsel of God, is because he loves them. He wants God's best for their life. I am not the priest of your home, but I am a helper of your joy, as Paul would say. Now we know that love is an action verb, and therefore if we love others, then there is going to be a process of action. Now let me just give you the first things that we looked at. Love will cause evangelism. Love will cause us to want to see other people saved by the grace of God. If you are saved and you know the free pardon of sin and the peace of God that passeth all understanding, it should be your desire that you would want other people to be saved. And he talks about the house of Stephanas and some of the first people that were saved in the church. And Paul loved them and he knew what they meant to the church. And when we evangelize, we show our love and debt that we have for the sake of the gospel. When people are saved, they should become addicted to the ministry. And when they do, it's an encouragement and it is a blessing. Second of all, love causes us to serve others. Verse 15, he talks again about the first fruits of Achaia, the house of Stephanas. He talks about the characteristics that are associated with addiction. Addiction involves a strong habit, which becomes an overpowering desire. Second, there's a growing tolerance, so that in order to maintain the same effect, you must consume more of what you're addicted to. Now, when we say that, we're usually talking about drugs. Third, there becomes a dependence upon that addiction, which means you have to have it to function. Now, think about that in the positive aspect. We should have to be involved in ministry just to function. Maybe I need to sit down and amen myself. And so we need to understand that love will cause us to serve others. Love will cause us to submit. Verse 16, submitting yourselves unto people that are addicted to the ministry. And so we looked at that. And then we're going to take up right here. Now we're going to start afresh and anew. But love actually causes those things. Love also causes fellowship or companionship. Fellowship is a byproduct of church membership. I don't know about you, but I'd rather fellowship with my church family than anybody else. They believe like I do. They have the same doctrines that I do. They believe the same things that I do. You can't choose your family. You're stuck with that. But you can choose your relationships, your fellowships. Amen. Look what he says in verse 17. This is amazing now. This is not as much doctrinal as it is practical. And here's what Paul said. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Look at verse 18. Look what these three men did. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Now, when Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, he is in Ephesus on his third missionary journey. He has left the area of Achaia. He has gone to what we would know as Asia Minor. And one of the chief cities of Asia Minor is Ephesus. Ephesus was the great missionary-minded church outside of the church that Paul was actually out of, that started the seven churches of Asia Minor that we read about in the Revelation. Ephesus was the first. In fact, it was a church that by the time John is writing to them, he is telling them, don't leave your first love. Go back to your evangelistic fervency. Go back to your love for the Lord. Go back to that. Yes, you're doctrinally strong and doctrine is good, but we must have love. And John talks about that to the church at Ephesus. But Ephesus is where Paul is when he's writing. And these three men come from Corinth, no doubt, to tell Paul the problems of the church and some of the things that are going on. And there's other people that have told Paul these things that are going on. But that's not what necessarily I want to deal with. I want to deal with the love that Paul had for these three men. You see, love causes fellowship or companionship. Think about these fellows who loved Paul, who came to where he was just to be with him and to encourage him. And they ministered to Paul by, listen to this, by just being there. And sometimes that's how you minister to people. You're just there with them. You're there to let them know you love them, you're with them, you're for them. When people are sick or they're going through grief or they're going through some type of tribulation, sometimes it's good for us just to be there. And I have said to this, to a sister pastors that I have trained over the last 30-something years, you don't necessarily have to say anything, you just need to be there. How many times as a pastor I have been on my way to visit somebody, and in my mind, I'll say it like this, in my flesh, I'm thinking, Lord, help me to be a blessing. Help me to say the right thing. Help me. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit of God says, you don't have to say anything, just be there. And by the time you leave, they've refreshed your spirit as much as you have refreshed their spirit. Because they have encouraged you by their faith and their diligence, and they're the ones that are having a hard time, but it is them that show the faith to you, and you were going there to refresh their spirit, and they in turn refresh your spirit. Stephanas and Achaeus and Fortunus, they went to encourage Paul. They went to be there with him. Yes, they told him about the problems that were going on, but I'm just telling you that Paul said, hey, just to see these fellows has encouraged me. Folks, that's why we need each other. Everybody with me? Maybe one of the best compliments that we could ever receive is for our church family or Christian friends to say that we are refreshing to be around. Now, we'll see that the Aquila and Priscilla in verse 19, but sometimes when you think about fellowship, sometimes hospitality comes right along with it. Because hospitality is important in the Christian walk. Friendship and companionship come from a heart of love. And I thank God for those men that are in the ministry that I have been able to be close to, or just to be able to bounce something off, or to be able to be there with them. And sometimes they just have refreshed my spirit in the middle of a difficult circumstance. Fellowship is a great byproduct of church family. Being around God's people is very important. And I want you to understand the practical aspect of this. And the church at Corinth had violated their companionship with each other by lawsuits and divisions. How are you going to have companionship and fellowship when you're suing one another, or you're divided in the church, or you're allowing sin in the church, or you have no respect for the things of God, or you have no respect for the leadership, like Stephanas was a great leader in the church. And Paul said, hey, you need to submit yourself to people that are addicted to the ministry. You need to follow their example. They had abused their spiritual gift. They had degraded the Lord's Supper. But all of a sudden, three friends from Corinth did help Paul lighten the load by being with him and just, listen to this, being there. And can I tell you, when these three men showed up, they saw this man, Paul, who was the apostle, who was the missionary, who was the pastor there in Ephesus, who was the leader of this church. They saw him doing the same thing in Ephesus that he had done in Corinth. And when he came to Corinth, he said, I was determined for you not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. My friend, that's all we have to offer. Amen. Is a risen Savior. That's right. Salvation in Jesus Christ. But when you get saved by the grace of God, you become addicted to the ministry. You fellowship one with another. Praise God, that is because of love. Amen. And I'm telling you, love of the brethren is so important. Proverbs 25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And here these men had traveled from Corinth there to Ephesus to be with Paul and give him the news of what was going on. Now, I want you to notice with me, again, I love these words that he said in verse number 18. He said, for they These men, Fortunus, Stephanus, and Achaeus, they have refreshed my spirit. The word refreshed is an amazing word in the sense that it is the same word Jesus used in Matthew 11:28 when he said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you." Listen, Jesus says, you come to me, I'll give you everything you need. You can't get anything better than Jesus. You can't have anything better than salvation. You can't have any... Hey, the closest that we can come is to fellowship with each other in the sense that we refresh each other. God can comfort us directly. There is no doubt about it. In fact, sometimes I think about David when they were ready to stone him, and the Bible says that he comforted himself, or he refreshed himself, or he helped himself in the Word of God. That God refreshed him. That God gave him what he needed. And God can comfort us directly, but you know what? He can use other people to comfort us. Unlike Job's three friends, they would have been better off if they had just sat there and kept their mouth shut and quit trying to tell Job why Job was in the situation that he was in. They didn't know why he was in that situation. They didn't know any more than Job did. But they thought they knew. Listen, people, sometimes people don't need your opinion. And they don't need your advice. Because everybody's got it. Sometimes they just need you to be quiet. And just be with them. If I want your advice, I'll ask for it. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying the point is to refresh somebody. Sometimes you just need to be there with them. And you know, here's another thing you could say. Is there anything I can do? Now, if you say that and they ask you to do something, do it. I want you to see something in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I told you this, but look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. This is the second letter, of course, of the church at Corinth. We're not going to preach through this. I thought about continuing on and preaching through this, but I just want you to see something in chapter 7 in verse number 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. I said Timothy, it was Titus. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how that with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. You know what that means? That means that Paul was refreshed by Titus, who came to him and said that, remember when they said, now when Titus shows up, don't, he's my representative. And Paul thought, because of the rebuking letter that he had received, that he had given them, that there was a possibility that Titus would go there in fear. But Titus reports back, no, they took the Word of God. They listened to the Word of God. They obeyed the Word of God. So some of those things that Paul was very strong in that he wrote to them, hey, they got it right. Maybe they got their lawsuits right. Somebody say amen. Maybe they got those divisions right. Maybe they got the Lord's Supper corrected. And they quit allowing sin in the church. Somebody say amen. Yes! Yes. Because we need to hear what God's Word has to say. And I'm just telling you, Titus reports that the church had heard and repented of the things that Paul had wrote about. You know what that did for Paul? It refreshed him. It comforted him. Love brings companionship. Number five, love causes respect. Look at verse number 16 again. He said, I want to remind you, verse 18, I'm sorry. For they have refreshed my spirit in yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Here's what I want you to understand. Love causes respect. Paul said, if there's anybody you need to respect in the church, it's Stephanus. He is addicted to the ministry. His whole house is addicted. He is the first. Isn't this good? that Stephanus was one of the very first people that was saved in Corinth and got saved and baptized by Paul, and now Paul writing from Ephesus, he's still faithful. He's still addicted. He's still overwhelmed. He was so overwhelmed that he went to tell Paul, "Paul, can you help us? We've got some problems." Paul said, "You know, you need to acknowledge them as such." He had told them in verse 16 that they should submit themselves to such. You know what that means? Respect. Do you know why children obey their parents? Because they respect their parents. You know, my dad died at the age of 87 when I was 59, 60. And my dad was 87. And I'm telling you, I was as afraid of my dad as the day he died as I was the day I was 6 years old. Not afraid in the sense of afraid, but afraid in the sense of respect.
Amen. Amen.
He was my dad.
That's right.
We need to respect authority. That's one of the problems with our country right now. That's one of the problems in homes today. That's one of the problems in churches today. No respect for authority. No respect for parents. No respect. And by the way, much of our educational system has taught kids not to respect their parents. When I was a kid, if you got spanking at school, you got one when you got home too. Now, if you get a spanking at school, you get sued. No respect for authority. You know what? Love causes respect. We need to be more appreciative of each other rather than being so critical. Paul said you need to acknowledge these men like these three men. Paul is simply saying they should have respect and appreciation for those who are doing the Lord's work. You don't have to put up a statue to appreciate somebody. But it would behoove us to reach out to people and let them know, hey, this is what you mean to me. One day you may not be able to tell someone how much they have meant to you on your journey in the Christian life. Paul said to this church, you would be good to acknowledge Stephanus and Achaeus and Fortunus, these men who are a good representation of the church. These people, listen, you should want to represent your church well, not represent your church bad. This church was too busy with me, myself, and I, rather to acknowledge others. Several times in this letter, we have seen that Paul speaks about the church being puffed up or arrogant. He says it in chapter 4. Well, let me just show you. These are some of the things he had to say to them. He said to them in chapter 4 and verse number 6, "And these things, brethren, I have a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Well, it's hard to have love and fellowship and companionship and respect if you think you're the only one that knows anything. He would say in verse 18, "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you." He would say in chapter 8 and verse number 1, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, you know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." There it is again. Listen, you think you know everything, and what you really need is love. Love one toward another. In chapter 14, in verse number 4, chapter 14, and verse number 4, Paul would say, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." As I was reading through this, I came to a section of Scripture in 3 John. And by the way, I was going to tell Brother Melvin, I'd already written this message. Preached half of it last week, Brother Melvin. It was already in my notes, and then Melvin preached on this passage of Scripture there at the fellowship meeting, and it was amazing. But I want you it's already in my notes. I'm just telling you right here, all right? But I want you to see something. Look at 3 John. In the book 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. John was writing. Now, this fits right in here about respect for elders, respect for authority, respect for Stephanus and these men that were prominent in the church. John wrote this in 3 John 9. He said, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Now, He goes, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil is not, has not seen God." Those are strong words that Paul wrote about Diotrephes. Now, I think about it like this. Can you imagine this man, and by the way, the church at Corinth had members like Diotrephes, leaders who loved to have the preeminence. It says here that this Diotrephes ridiculed John, was jealous of John. Can you imagine? Let me just tell you this. You're not going to come down on the right side of history by being against the beloved John. That's not going to work out well. Such is not a good leader. It doesn't matter how much talent you may have. And Diotrephes might have had a lot of talent. After all, he loved to have the preeminence. On the other side of the coin, John said, Demetrius, look it down at verse number 12. On the other side of the coin, John said, Demetrius hath a good report. Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. He also talked about Gaius before that, who I love in truth. So here you have one guy good, Gaius, the other guy, Demetrius on this good. In the middle, John has to say, yeah, there's this rascal guy whose name is Diotrephes. He's speaking against us. That ain't going to turn out good. But Paul said, Stephanus, Fortunus, they're worthy of respect. John said, Gaius and Demetrius, they have a good report. They're worthy of respect. Respect those who have right doctrine. Respect those who have right living. And respect those who care for others. Let me tell you something about this. God's standards for leadership are purity and maturity. And when the church follows and respects godly and mature leaders, the church will be strengthened in fellowship, in service, and in love. I could also think about Paul speaking about another. But boy, there's all kinds of people that Paul talked about. He talked about Epaphroditus in the book of Philippians. He told the church to hold him in reputation. That means respect. He was a servant and had served Paul on behalf of the church in Philippi. He did not even regard his own life. He was a person to emulate. When we find someone like this that's faithful to the Lord, we should imitate that person. We should respect that person. Is everybody listening to me this morning? When you find someone addicted to the ministry, have respect. Paul told the church in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves." Whatever happened to respect and loyalty? Somebody stay with me today. They're still part of God's plan. These men, Paul said to the church at Corinth, they're examples to the rest of the church. They're leaders. They are accountable to the Lord and to the church, but they are to be respected and follow. And we cannot properly serve the Lord if we don't have proper respect for godly leadership. Love causes hospitality. Look at verse 19. I kind of mentioned this. I cannot but help to preach to you about Aquila and Priscilla. The churches of Asia salute you. Now think about that. The church in Ephesus was greeting the church in Corinth. The churches of Asia were greeting the church that was located in Achaia. Two of these people are mentioned are Aquila and Priscilla. They were, by the way, members of the church in Corinth. And when Paul went to Ephesus to start another ministry, another church, he took with them Aquila and Priscilla. When Paul got to Corinth, he found this man and wife by making tents. And Paul was a tent maker. They were a tent maker. They had been thrown out of Rome because Jews had been thrown out of Rome by the Roman emperor. They came together as fellow laborers. When Paul went to Ephesus, you know what he did? He took Aquila and Priscilla with him. And you know what? Guess where the church was? In Ephesus. In their house. We know that in Corinth that they met next to the synagogue. They went to a place there But here in Ephesus, they didn't have a building. They went into the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And you know what they said? They said, salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. The church in Aquila and Priscilla, members of the church in Corinth, went with Paul to Ephesus to start another ministry. These fellow tent makers were a valuable asset to church planting. You know what that? You know what sets Aquila and Priscilla apart? They had hospitality. They said to Paul, "You know, we found a house over here, and we think it's big enough not only for us to live there, but we can start the church there." You know, it's okay to say, hey, you know what? We have a house, and let's make sure that we make a room that's available for other people. This custom was hospitable. Paul abode with them in Corinth, and now in Ephesus, the church meets in their house. That's what you call hospitality. Let me just tell you something, folks. We need hospitality. And we don't necessarily just need the hospitality of those that are our family members or those that we know or those that we know the best. You know how to get to know somebody? Have them over to your house. Amen, preacher. Amen, pastor. You know why nobody's saying amen? Because our hospitality maybe not where it should be. Hospitality means bringing others into your home. And by the way, you won't do that unless you love people. Our home should be a place where people want to come, and we should be willing to open up our house for God's people. I think of the Good Samaritan that we preached about a couple of Wednesday nights ago. He was willing to take care of somebody else. Love will cause affection. Look at the next one, verse number 20. And all the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Come up here, Malcolm. I'm going to show you what a holy kiss looks like. Come on. You ready for this? Hey, bro, how you doing? That's about as holy kiss as we're going to get right there. Right? I might do this, but let's just stick with this. That is an Ozarkian, American, cultured, holy kiss. That's all you're going to get. Just want you to know that. Somebody say amen. We ain't German Baptists, I'll tell you that. Somebody say amen. If you don't know what that means, well, I can't help you. That's exactly, I mean, I know that, that's not what we do. Our holy kiss is a handshake. But by the way, a handshake should be done with affection. Hey, brother, how you doing? And don't give me no dead fish handshake. COVID almost killed. Greeting one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss and then wash your hands. Paul is speaking of genuine and spontaneous expression of brotherly love. We should welcome people into the church with a smile, a handshake, and a sincere welcome. Where love is, there will be willingness to make friends, even with people that we do not know. Then Paul said, he said goodbye. Look at this. Paul said in verse 21, the salutation of me with my own hand. Paul says, this letter is from me. I'm signing my name to it. I read a long time ago, Ironside. I've read some of his books, Harry Ironside. He was friends with Victor Sears, by the way. And when Harry Ironside got very old in his later years, he was not able to see letters that people wrote to him, and he was not able to write letters, but he had a secretary that would dictate the letters. And I believe Paul had eye problems. I really do. I believe it was probably on the road to Damascus that Paul's eyes were damaged by the bright light. You will see Paul write his first letter to the Galatians. He said, "You see how large writing I write." And so Paul would have people to write his letters, but at the end he would sign it. Harry Ironside, while he would dictate his letters, always at the end, I read this in a biography, even though he couldn't write his own letters toward the end of his life, he would always sign his name and have a little statement like, "This is from me." And that's what Paul's doing. Paul may not have wrote the letter word for word, but Paul wrote the letter word for word. And just so that they would know that, he says, you know my handwriting. You know my salutation. I'm writing this. And you know what he says in verse 24? Oh, by the way, I love you. If verse 22, he says this, in the middle of that, he says, now, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. You know what that means? Anybody that doesn't love the Lord, here's what Paul is saying, let him be accursed, let him be judged. And can I say this? If you don't love the Lord in salvation, you're living under a curse. Paul said, you cause problems to a church, anathema, Maranatha. Those were Arabic words. And those words were used a lot of times for people to know who Christians were. But that Maranatha, Paul was saying, if you don't love the Lord, you're cursed. You're judged. You know what Paul was saying as he closed this out? I wrote this letter. I love you. You need to love one another. I love you. You need to love one another. But if you don't love the Lord, you're cursed. If you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. You can't get any stronger language than that. But Paul said, I do love you. Love is a major factor in a church. I'd rather pastor 10 people that love the Lord than a whole bunch of people that don't love the Lord or the things of the Lord or don't care anything about the Lord, only care about self. Oh, absolutely. Hey, Paul wrote a rebuking letter. You know why? He loved them. He wanted them to be right with the Lord. That's the way we should all be. Love is an action verb, and it causes many things. Companionship, fellowship, evangelism, hospitality, affection. It's a pretty major thing. Jesus said this to His disciples. They will know that, and I'm going to paraphrase, I'm not going word for word. Hey guys, they're going to know who you are because of the love you have one for another. Amen. Then they'll know your disciples. Nothing could be better said than when somebody comes into Berean Baptist Church. Hey, they love each other. And they love others. And all God's people said. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Every head bowed. Lord, as we close out this book, what a great book we've learned. It's been very rebuking, been very challenging. It gives us two great chapters on love and resurrection. It tells us doctrinally things that we need to know, how that we're to be united, that we're to be unified, that we're to love one another. Things will happen, Lord, if we have love for the brethren. God, help us today to love You and help us to understand those who do not love the Lord are under a curse. Those who do not serve You, those that do not love the things of God. Lord, I pray for us to be addicted to the ministry. I pray God's people today would be addicted to the ministry, hospitable, love one to another, affectionate one to another. God, help us. If there's anyone here without Christ, they might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing 505, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Hey, listen, love of the brethren. Love of the brethren, hospitality, evangelism, serving others, addicted to the ministry, submitting to people in leadership, companionship, respect. Wow. All a part of love in the church. Paul said, I love you, love the brethren, as we sing.
Have thine own way, Lord.
You need to do business with God. Come to the altar today. You need somebody to pray with you. Come to the altar. You need to be saved. Come to the altar. You need to do business with God. Come to the altar. Come on. If God would speak to you in any way.
Waiting, yielded and still.
bowed, every eye closed, with the piano organ to play through one more verse.